Continuing on in the Kuntras Tovim Ma'oros, last week, sum up the Nekudah from last week was that Be'etzem, there's no real Metzias Torah, and Ad Kama that a person, right? However, it's not necessarily all or one, but it's how. However much we succeed, an individual or the klal, the group succeeds in getting to a realization that there is no true power of evil in the world. There's no true, it doesn't even exist. So, to that extent, the person will actually be spared and saved from the Yetzer Hara, from that imaginary evil, because he's beyond it. He's gotten past the smoke screen. So. Now, yeah, that was basically the story that we said. And of course, we mentioned, even though we haven't yet finished getting through this point, is like, how does this very lofty, high ideal fit the Metzius, that, we see L'chaira, right? It looks to us that we see tremendous evil in the world. So what is that? What do the words mean? That there's no real existence to evil. What do those words mean? So we did say a little bit that, right, it's not that there's not evil actions in the world, right? You'll find the Torah speaks about something being bad, you'll find the word ra. But it means that, like we said, that there's no shtei rishuyos, right? It's einan milvade, everything is Rabban Shalom. And there nothing exists outside of Rabban Shalom. There is, so, and the version was kulei toiv. So mamela, the ra is just a part of that toiv. I think we mentioned at Chazal, maybe Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, I don't remember, mentioned it, right? Toiv ma'oid is the reference to ra. Because there's not really ra, it's just some kind of alternate expression of the good that somehow is working in this world, which basically means that the Rabban Shalom allows there to be what we call ra in this world, but not that it or allows it to appear that there's a koyach ra in this world, not that that really exists. But Atumachai is cool, and the Rebbeinu Shalom is giving it existence, is giving it tzchias, because it's part of his overall game plan of good in the world. So the evil itself doesn't exist. It's just a fragmented observation of the good. Right? Our observation, what it seems that there's a koyach of evil in the world, is just a fragmented observation of the good. We're not seeing the full picture.
We're meant to try and get rid of that as well.
Huh?
We're meant to try and get rid of that also.
We're meant to try to get rid of
it. It's mostly the outer Roman Gebecha.
Right.
We're meant to try and get rid of that also.
No, so he's saying that the way to get, the deepest way to overcome the evil is by being mevatel it completely, by being mevatel its existence, because in fact, it doesn't really have an existence. Yeah.
The hand of a koyach doesn't have an existence. Which exists by the
Mamaisa
is
what
you're saying, a fragmented view of the good.
Oh, but he's saying a little bit more than that, and that's what we're going to have to like get to exactly understand what is this. He's going to deal with this also in the continuation of, we see people doing bad things. So does that indicate that there's... is that a manifestation of a koyach hara, of a metzias of ra? Or is there something else, or no? Or maybe it's just like some kind of, I don't know if you want to say, misrepresentation or some kind of like warping of good, if you want to say it like that. Okay, which of course we would term bad, but it's still a far cry from seeing the ra as an essential or an independent existence of its own. Okay. Now, before we continue, as you can see already from, right, the difficulty of just trying to wrap our heads around this kind of a concept. So I happen to have, you know, that I just bought two new volumes of Igrot HaRa'ya, the letters of Rav Kook. There was four printed, and now the fourth one came out new with a lot of additions, and then there's a fifth one as well. So I happened to be flipping it through, I think last month's Shabbos, after the shiur, and happened to come across this letter over here from the year Tafresh Pei Aleph. The Rav Kook writes to son. It's Igrot HaRa'ya Dalet Kuft, letter Kuft Tzadi Hei, 195.
That would have been when it was in Europe. Get over.
1924. Oh, because of World War One. Was he still?
1921,
no?
No, back by then. The war ended 1918.
No, so it seemed no. He was here. He was in.
He just got back.
Yeah. Right, because 1914, right, was the war.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rav Kook writes, Po nitora odapam kinat chorpeinu al dvar ha'orot. Over here was stirred again, the kanos, right, the kinat, the jealousy of our shame, meaning the mivazos on the issue of orot, of the sefer orot. That was the sefer that they made the whole tumult. The sefer that this whole thing is coming to explain.
That was Rav Kook's only sefer.
No, but that was the one at the time. Ubiyot ubiyoter chara lehem ala kuntras tovim me'orot shel chaviveinu Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalav Shlita. He says even more. He got even more upset from this kuntras that we're reading now, tovim me'orot of our dear Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalav Shlita. So v'yotzu b'shem agudas hakodesh yedua. And they went out in the name of the known Agudas HaKodesh, the Michtevei Plaster, with like letters against and whatever. Tzakani Me'od, and it the Michtevei Plaster Tzakani Me'od, like screaming, letters against. What's that? Who's he referring to? I'm not sure if it's that or the Eid HaRed. I don't know. Avo Manu Chal. Then it says Chasani Al Kvoid. I feel compassion or mercy, whatever. I'm sorry on the covet of the Ikra Torah that's desecrated through these actions of theirs. Avol manu chalasas, what can you do? Are we allowed to just cover up, use a vessel to cover up the truth, the obvious truth? So, I could do. The truth is the truth. That's it. So I found it amusing, right? Which I knew about actually. Historically, I knew that it was a lot. The Tovim Me'orot also got people even more upset, maybe. But I actually see it here in Rav Kook's writing, so that's interesting. But the reason, of course, is here he's really getting to the crux of what's behind, at least his angle of what was behind what Rav Kook was doing. And it's such a deep point, that the people, obviously, that were going against Rav Kook, as it was, for the most part, certainly the noisemakers, were people that were learning things relatively superficial, very, very superficial, actually, anyway. In other words, even the Gdoli Yisrael that had issues, whatever it is, they weren't the ones that, were making as much of a... There were some behind-the-scenes attempts and things, whatever it is, but the noisemakers, generally speaking, and the Chil Hashem, so to say, is the people that don't have a shaykhis to a deeper way of seeing the Metzias and understanding the Metzias. Again, this is obviously part and parcel of the whole, what a lot of the Machlaikas that went on was Rav Kook was kind of coming from a Kabbalistic way of understanding what's going on in the world and what's going on in this point in time, and they were coming, others were coming from a standpoint like it's very nice that there might be mystical things going on, but we only have halacha, we only have what our eyes see, and historis Hashem Elokeinu aniglas lano v'neinu, right? God deals with what's concealed. We can only deal with what's revealed. That was the taina against Rav Kook. So you might be right, but maybe yeah, maybe no. We can only deal with what we actually see. So when Rabbi Yaakov Moshe comes and gives us these this very deep mahalach for that kind of a mind that has as it is difficulty dealing with anything somewhat abstract, certainly when it seems to fly in the face of everything that they're witnessing. So this obviously is even more enraging, more enraging. Okay. All right, that's it. Now, together with that, I saw some in a totally different thing. I saw this week, I've been going through the Sefer that they put out of Rav Dov Yaffa, Dov Kanafshi Acharecha, which is I tremendously, tremendously recommend it. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sefer, which has some parts of his diary from when he was younger. And specifically, we don't have that many diaries of Gdol Yisrael in their youth when they're having difficulties. And, you know, he writes over here the difficulties of his growth and his nisyon, so to say, and it's fascinating. And we call it Tzidkus. It's a very chashuv sefer. And together with that, you know, it has different parts of his writings, because in the diaries he also expresses himself musra wise and ashkafa wise, machshava wise. There's a tremendous amount to be got from this. One of the things right now, what I happen to have come across this week, pertains very, very much to what we just are learning over here. And that is, in this parak that's called Ish Tvunos, this, what I'm reading now is from page 118. So, he writes in one of his notebooks, he writes like this: Ra'iti achshav v'sefer kadosh dvorim kol na'alim kol nisgavim. I just saw now in a holy sefer things that are so lofty, so exalted, that they very much raised up my spirit. Therefore, because I got like such a hisayus, I got such a stirring, a spiritual stirring, therefore I went out to the woods. I went out to the beautiful woods of Tel Arza to like be hugged by nature. Like mitoches avos Hashem, right? It went up to this itself is like an unbelievable, beautiful thing. That to be hugged by the nature, lechazek bi et haragashot en hederot, in order to strengthen in me the amazing feelings that I got from this sefer. Like, wow, uvdahi, it's a fact. Shebechek hateva margish ani biyeter chozek et kishri achazak im kol avaya. It's a fact that in the breast of nature, so to say, right, I feel much more strongly my strong connection with the whole universe. She'en kol davar v'davar zarim echad hasheni. That it's not like that everything is a stranger to the other, like a whole bunch of separate things. V'nifradim mimenu, and separate. El ha'kol havaya achat. That everything is one big existence, one big being, right? When I'm in nature, I get that feeling of the oneness of the metzias, of the existence. Then he writes, "Kam miromemeti argashazu." How, you know, uplifting is this feeling? Dome ayalu lifnechen shekashem od lagishet argashazot. Before, it appeared to me that it was very, that it would be very difficult to feel such a feeling. Then until now, I felt the exact opposite. I didn't have this feeling. I felt the very opposite of this. I thought it would be very difficult to get to like such a feeling of like really feel that interconnectedness and oneness of everything in the world. But now there are moments where it seems to me that this feeling is actually very natural and simple. And sometimes I wonder, like I'm amazed, how could one not feel this simple truth? Now listen to this next paragraph. Kama sheker ve'eres munach b'machshava sheyesh gam ra b'briah. How much lie and poison is in the thought that there's also evil in the creation. It's exactly what Rav Yaakov is trying to get to. Right? Rav Dov Yaffa got to this hasaga. He got to this understanding. Right? He felt it. It's such a lie. It's such a poisonous idea that there is evil in the creation. Kama mashchita yet ha-nefesh. How much it corrupts the nefesh. the soul, umar ilata, and poisons it. Unbelievable. I just saw this week. Vayar elekim es kol asher asah, and God saw everything that he made. Vine tov ma'od. It's very good. That was going on the creation of evil. Right?
That's Yitzhak Huttner's famous line, I know. Bacher was having like a very hard time.
Yeah.
Told him, if you're having a very hard time, then I say to you, you may toy noise.
Not familiar. Okay. Yitzhak Habriya, Heid Aleah, Shekula Toiv Ma'oy. The creator of the world testified about the creation that it's all very good. You have Eidus from the creator that the world is very good, the whole creation is very good. Ve'adam ha'katan chalush ha'ri'iyah v'tzar ha'secha. And the small person who's weak, it's got weak vision and limited intellect, narrow intellect, ba'u me'id, comes and testifies she'yesh ra'a b'briah, that there's evil in the creation. Ulefamim yeshnam od ra'ei lev ha'ro'im rakra. Sometimes there's even bad-hearted people that they only see bad. Everything is black and dark and bad. It's amazing. So he says, "Hata'ut ha'umlala hazot." This terrible mistake. It's really like this. It's like pathetic mistake. Novat rak mitoch machshevet hasheker, flows forth only from the false thought, haro'e et ha'avaya kimfuredet ukru'a, that sees the existence as a splintered and torn existence. Umistakelet ha'kol chelek ha'davar b'fnei atzmo, and looks at each part as a thing of its own. Akasher techazak ha'agasha shekol ha'avaya achati, when the feeling that the whole existence is really just one unit is going to become strengthened by the person. How much pleasure does that feeling bring? Then the person is able to feel that also the evil that he feels mitzad the part is not ra, is not evil be'etzem, inherently, elemi'ut betov, but it's like a minimization in the good. Umi'ut atov b'mkom sh'ru'u liyot kach, and a minimization in the good in a place where it's appropriate for there to be, harehu atov yoter ha'elyon, that's the best thing possible, the most supreme. Halo rak hargashat pe'utim hi sh'aribuy hu atov ha'yoter na'aleh b'kol ha'ofanim. He says, isn't just, it's just a feeling of like minors, small, you know, putim, little kids, that the ribui, that the multitude is the best thing possible in all instances. Kids think that you get a lot, it's better. But an adult, a mature mind sees that no, it's actually the unity, it's the one, that's the better, that's the higher. Okay, there's what to talk about over here as well, you know, but I just... It's amazing, and the truth of the matter is that I realized something. I don't know exactly, because they don't have dates over here on this part, on this lingo's written. But the truth of the matter is that I was zeichet to hear from Dov Yaffa, the way he spoke in private, that conversation, actually I have recorded, about Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. And he spoke like very, very, very high. And to Rav Yehuda Geffen, right, over here in Uriah, who was very close Talmud of his, he learned in the yeshiva by him. So he told Rabbi Yehuda Geffen once, to me he told similar things, but not in that sharp way. He told him, Tochi hu harav kuk, my inside is Rav Kook. Rav Dov Yaffa was a ben bais by Chazon Ish. That was his, you know, his Rebbe Muvuk was the Chazon Ish. But he said, Tochi hu harav kuk. Like you could see from this kind of statement, what we're reading over here, what I just read in the diary, that he was holding at that mindset, that he connected to that tremendous hasaga that Rav Kook was trying to... it's too young. It was a tremendous hasaga that he was trying to give over. Actually, one of the things that he told me, I remember, is that they used to say, you know, it was well known that what's the biggest example in the yeshivisha world of a close Rebbe and Talmud. What's like the closest Rebbe Talmud relationship? Where the Talmud is completely like bends himself and Reb Chaim Baruch Baruch Ber. Exactly. Right? They say that Reb Baruch Ber like burnt all his notes, all his Kedushim before he met Reb Chaim. After he met Reb Chaim, he burnt all his Kedushim Torah from before he met Reb Chaim. Now, once he became a Talmud Reb Chaim, that's it. There's nothing before. He was born again. And that, yeah. So Reb Dov Yaffa told me, he said that he used to say that Reb Yaakov Moshe was even more of a Talmud to Reb Kook than Reb Baruch Ber was to Reb Chaim. Anyway, so just.
Did they bring in the Kook, his connection with the Kook?
No, but I can tell you one thing.
No, it could be that the book that he was reading.
That the book that was Sefer Kodesh. Right, and economic doesn't say the book over there. Could be one of Rav Kook's books. Because he said he learned a lot when his youth. He learned this. No, that wasn't him. That was Rabbi Yamin Efrati. And he didn't tell him to learn it, but whatever. Yeah.
Wasn't the Zonish very against
it? Okay, no. Okay. So, the Maisa, when he came to Beit Shemesh, a few times. And almost every single time he mentioned Rav Kook in his thing and in his speech. And like one time he said like that he did everything he could to bring the Geula. Like every time it was like Meshaber, he praised it very, very much. It's a chashuva thing to know. Okay, unfortunately we live in a time where, you know, things are blurred. At the same time, you know, he held on a lemaisedik level. He did everything the way the Chazanish said, and he said that the Chazanish held that als hanhogas at tzibur, you have to do something else. You know, like that was like the chiluk that he made is what Rav Kook is saying is true. What Rav Kook is saying is true Torah and you know whatever. But as far as leading the klal, leading the generation, so you have to. So again, that comes back to the nekuda. What I was saying before is. Do you take that into account or no when it comes to the moves you make and the way you run the show on a practical level, you know, what which level do you stem from more? What do you pull from more? What's koveya your medinyut? What sets your decision making? Okay, so that's why I said I don't care about the political aspects of things, but the Torah Shavu Dover we certainly should be aware of. Okay. Anyway, so now we'll continue on a little bit. That's late. Okay, let's try to do at least a little bit to get a little bit further in the Tevim virus. Because he says over here now a very chash of a point. I'll try to read through it a little bit quickly and then maybe we'll get back to it. Niflahi. Omnam avidus hakodesh al miyachde yichudim be'es doidim machtze dechaklo. Okay, the holy work of those who meditate and those miyachde yichudim are those who make yichudim. Okay, those who make the oneness of Hashem, unification of Hashem. You don't find it yet?
Sorry, which page?
Yeah, let me see, because I have a different. Different printing than you.
No,
you're out of order here. That's right.
Oh, there's numbers. Oh, here maybe?
No, we're after that.
2, 3. Yeah.
We're right after this. Look, 3. It must be somewhere up here, 4 and 5. Just have to find the words here.
So what's
Nifla Ahi Omnam Avedis HaKodesh. Okay, my mistake. So we're up to Hayulanu Yomim. Okay. Hayulanu Yomim Asher Kol Yisoid Hadrochas HaAvoida. Okay. There were days that the whole base, the whole foundation of guidance of Avoida, Haya Mechuvin Bederech HaPirsum, okay, was directed, at least he's saying Bederech HaPirsum, as far as the publicity, right, the public Hadrocha, the public guidance of Avodah was. Rak elachnas hara, to subduing the evil, vadecha'asa levad, and pushing it down alone. Right, that's all they were doing. That was the ikar way that was guided, the community, the Tzibur Klaus was guided to subdue evil. Valkena yumistapkim az b'midah meruba, and therefore they would suffice with a great measure b'sidrei ha'ishtamshus shel tzibur koyach ha'oiz shel hara, by using the picturing of the tremendous strength of the evil. Ki hu godol kahar, like the Gemara says, that the Yetzer Hara, the Koyach of Ra, is like big like a mountain, right? The Gemara Sukkah. Was definitely an Aleph, I think. V'takif ma'od, and it's very, very powerful. Right? In other words, exact opposite of what he just said, right? They used the method, the tactic that was used was folks and thinking how bad that evil is. Leman liyos muchan tamid, so that the person would always be prepared likrav, always prepared for battle. Ulachin koiches negdiim lo, and to prepare, right, opposing forces to the Yetzirah. Vaz afapishim mitzad atzira zehaya gam sakana krucha bikvoy, even though mitzad this picture itself was a danger was right. Was rooted here. There was a danger involved because, like we said, picturing the evil as a power, that itself gives the evil power, the takshut, and stubbornness. Like it's gonna like really be in your face. Because then, nevertheless, kivin shebaze machmas goydel taras hakavona lo'er nikmas harav aresha. Since this picturing, this method came because of the greatness of the purity of the intention to stir in us the revenge against the evil and bad in the world, wickedness. So the look forward to the future, to be mechazik, to strengthen the orders of Kedusha, which is the whole reason they were doing this, in order to prepare themselves for this war to overcome the evil. So that itself protected them, that they wouldn't be hit so hard by the evil. They would, in other words, the benefit would outweigh by far the damage. V'nezru arbei b'ribuy anazirus, and they were helped much by adding all sorts of precious, right, separating themselves from some things, varchaka misarat ha'chaim, and distancing themselves from the tumult of life, vitpatchutan, and their development, umikol ha'ki'ur, and from all the anything disgusting, vadoimile, and anything like that's, you know, anything like that. Shekvit tenoyu matzavei ha'chaim shel az, that according to the conditions and the situation of life back then, those days were very mesugal for that. It was very easy for them. Who had, you know, there was no big fancy kashmirs in those days. So you were parish. Anyway, the life was one of precious. So you weren't Isaac, and you didn't have these, you know, you weren't working all day because you didn't really have money. You didn't have a business anyway. Like there wasn't too much kashmirs to kind of pull you away from. So it was much easier in those days to take this method and to live a life of precious, and to live like in learning Torah and in Avodas Hashem. The Pasha wasn't so much of a, there wasn't like that much of options out there that were so luring. You know, it was much easier to do. So ultimately, that was the mahalach that worked very much back then. But you can't forget that this was only in like a Haras Shah. It was like a temporary psak, a temporary instruction of this is now during the times of Golus. When we were rolling from, you know, one being pushed from one place to the next in Golos and Chutzarts. Mokum Tumas Avira Vegusha Shel Eretz Amim, the place of the unclean air, right? The Tumas, the Tumas Avira and the Gusha Shel Eretz Amim, two types of Tumah, right? Of Chutzarts. It's a Mokum of Tumah, the soil as well as the air. Lifnei is galusai, and that was all before his galusai shalas chalas ketz amagula, before the revelation of the beginning of the revealed ketz, like the Gemara says, right? That what is the revealed ketz, the revealed end of day, so to say, in Eretz Yisrael, is when you see that the land starts to produce, it starts to come alive, and therefore many in those days, I think if I remember correctly, that's in the Adaris Haskama on Lukutei Halachos Chafetz Chaim. So he says, like, we see the Ketz HaMagula. I think he loses that Lashon even over there. There were many Gedolei Yisrael that spoke in that type of Lashon, that type of language, that, like, the fact that Eretz Yisrael was coming back and starting to blossom for the first time after close to 2,000 years, was a key of the Gemara of Ketz HaMagula. So that certainly that's where Rabbi Akiva just saw what was going on.
That's Haskama got lost?
No, it's printed.
Oh, with that Lashon?
I think I have to look back. Let's go further afterwards. I'll try to check it. So, he says. So that was all before then, but now, you know, that was before the Ketz HaMagula started. Shehu Nihiras Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, which is the flux of Jewish people coming to Eretz Yisrael, l'shem Geula Ubinyan, for the purpose of redemption and building. Shebishum Oifid Lahayinu Yecholim Ozle Yisroimim L'dei Amadrega Gedoylo Shetudasenu L'shayish Kalil Achara. So that there was no way in those days before, right? In the days of Golos, when we were just like on a survival mode, there was no days for us to become elevated to such a big Madrega of our real self. To lisharish kalil achara, to completely uproot the evil. I mean, we were in Eretz Amen, we were in Tumas Amen, we were in Chutzar, in the muck of a klipus. We do this avoid over there. V'legalas b'nitzachon shel kodesh, and to reveal the victory of kodesh as a efes va'ayin sheloi. V'ayinu smechim al kolponim. And to reveal with the victory of Kodesh the nothingness of evil, that it doesn't even exist, it's nothing, it's zero. So we were at least happy to at least just empower the good and subdue the evil. Eradicate it? There's nothing to talk about in those days. But not now. That's no longer the case. We're returning to our desired land, the land of our yearning, for the purposes of getting the Gula underway. Lanach lazu, to this inheritance, Shechai Neshames Avir Arzo, which is the Lashon of the Kuzri, in one of his, right, in his piyut, which the air of its land is the life source of our Neshames. Ubechol Neshima Neshima, and in every single breath we take, Sheshoyef Imba, that we breathe here in Eretz Yisrael, Merichim Es Reach HaKodesh, we smell the holy smell, Reach HaKol Tapuchin Kadishin, Misadeh Shebirch HaShem, from the field that God has blessed, V'hin Noimdim Al Safa Geula, we're like Mamash standing right here on the verge of Geula, Choshim Ukravim L'Yom HaGadol, moving forward and quickly to the Yom HaGadol. Didn't go as quick as we would have liked. Asherinenu techazen and misharim, that our eyes will see, right? Misharim batzdakas hakodesh, in the righteousness and the justification of the holiness. V'kiyum kol yehuda menitzkim, and the fulfillment of all the everlasting promises that we were given in the Torah. I efshel listapek oid bedarchei kvisha v'achnoser alavad. We can no longer just make do with the ways of conquering and subduing evil. And that's it. Kim dafka lachshiras atzmenu. We dafka need to prepare ourselves. Gamli de adrocha elyona, to the higher guidance. Hamevili de bitul shel ra, which brings to the complete nullification of evil. Vefsiyusay, and its zeroness. Lishtachre b'shichur gomur, and to get a complete free independence, a complete independence. Mikol ma'asav v'kela, from every type of. Literally prison and jail to the evil. V'hihi ha'avon ha'kabiro, and that is the tremendous understanding, amakeres esef siyusay shelera, that recognizes the nothingness of evil, lo'rak ba'atid, ki'im gam bo'hoife, not just in the future, but like he said earlier, even in the present, that it's zero. So basically, right, he's kind of saying that the Derech really, I guess he's hinting to the Musar movements particularly, right? Which, I mean, but it was even before that. But, you know, it got its, it really got a full tsura it was solidified with the Musar movement, which was that you pumped into yourself like, oh, the evil is so, the Yitzhar is so strong, and the Satan is such a terrible Koyach of Ra. Yeah? Yeah, but even it's true. But over there was the God. It's true that they stressed the Godless Adam, but it was the Godless Adam. So how could you succumb to such a terrible to the Koyach Hara? In other words, fundamentally, that wasn't the Machlokes, that the Ra. It was just the method of how to overcome the Ra. But still, there was always this focus that the Ra has a terrible koyach, and therefore we have to build up the person in a way that he will not succumb to the Ra, but rather he'll be able to mamachnia, he'll be able to subdue the Ra. But in order to do that, ultimately, there was a big avoid in kind of like recognizing that, like, you got to be on your toes all the time, because that evil has a tremendous koyach, that evil is tremendous, so you have to be on your toes all the time. And Lamaisa, Rabbi Yakimovich says, there was no other choice. In the Golos, there was no other choice. You're in a Tumadika land. You're in a Tumadika environment, Tumadika air. There's the Mokum Aklipus. There's no way for you to get to the high levels that we're discussing over here of eradicating. That's like you're trapped in the mess. So, okay. And you're in survival mode. So when you're in survival mode, that's the most you can do. And because the kavanah, the intention was good, in order to overcome the evil, so the damage was much less.
It's not just the Muslim.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gemara has also
plenty. Yeah, it's not the, of course, before. The Gemara's right. Right. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help the person, then there's no way to overcome the Eitzahara, right? The same thing with the Gemara over there, the Sukkah, right? Which Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is clearly, he actually used that expression, right? Like, it looks like a mountain. So, yeah, and the Hanami, these were the...
I'm saying, he's coming and saying, from now on...
But that was also in the times of the Gemara is also from the times of the Golos, the teaching.
So we're saying, like, what? From the some session I'm asking, so like, from the Chorban, that's it, we switch to the...
We switch modes, right? We switch modes to the Avodas Hashem of Golos. By the way,
what's he saying? Is he saying that this is always like this, but they didn't know because they were in such darkness? Now there's more light.
So pay attention to the way he started. He started by saying, "Mechuvin b'derech ha-pirsum." What was publicized and taught to the masses was this mahalach. What's behind that? The Gemara also was to the masses. But we know there was another Torah that was not to the masses, that was only to Yechidei Zgula, in time, right? Rav Shimon Baichai, Sefer Isaiah. And the Sefer Azayah doesn't do this Mahalach. And that's the whole, it's good for Lag BaOmer, right? To understand a little bit what Lag BaOmer is about as far as the Hilulah, Rav Shimon Baichai, what are making a whole thing about Rav Shimon Baichai. That was exactly what Rav Shimon Baichai says. It's in the Schus of the Sefer Azayah that we're going to go out of the Golos. Because the whole, like we've said past, the whole focal point of the Zayah is Tochazeh, which is the Re'iyah, which is the Koyach HaChokhmah, to see the oneness, unity of everything. To see how bad is really not bad, but is a toiv ma'od, is a part of the fuller picture, so that there's no ra at all. It's all einayd milvadei. That's exactly what Rishon Yechai's Torah is doing. But that was only to Yechidei Segula, because other than Yechidei Segula, there wasn't really a way for this to be practiced by the masses. It was just too difficult. They were under pressure all the time and under from the goyim and running away from the, right, Rav Shimon himself ran away from the Romans, and then in Golos, from one Golos to the next, it just wasn't shaykh to become elevated and raise yourself up to that kind of a level when you're just in survival mode. But that's what he's really indicating, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, when he says mechuvim b'derech ha-pirsum. That what Yechidei Segula, this Torah of Yichud. Of course, when I'm behind the scenes, we know the Ramban had, and we know it was very, but it was very, 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 I mean, many, many Rishonim didn't have, like, we know the Rambam didn't have Seydus HaTorah, so it wasn't necessarily how, who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring it to. Yeah, no, that's already, that was Rabbi Shalom's plan. That's Chido has a whole thing on that. He talks about the how that went, that Rabbi Shalom like kind of hid this Torah for a long time. But the reason that he hid this Torah so much was because it became irrelevant on the of the masses. But now, as part of the Geula process, this is what the Leshem writes, this is what the Chidor writes, all the right, as part of the Geula process, where we're ready to usher in a whole new era, this Avodah becomes not just essential, but to try to stick only to the old Avodah is going to be very, very damaging. And that's part of what we see today, is that Bechlal, the Musar movement, is basically for all, you know, for all, you know, really, it's basically dead. You know, certainly nothing like Rabbi Yisrael and his Talmidim intended it to be, and many Bnei Torah, I would say probably Ruba de Ruba, can't be soluble, especially the young generation today, can't be soluble. They cannot stand Musar, because for whatever reason, but ultimately, it's an indication that the neshama today needs something different, and that's what's you know, Pinkus's svarim and Rashi Shapira and all these svarim that are really coming from a deeper place, from a yichudika place, from a chachmatika place, from a place of the unity of Hashem, from the godless, from like a whole deeper level. It's really all stemming from the Zohar, stemming from the Seudas HaTorah, and we're going to see that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to speak about, that this whole thing has to only it only can come from a place of the secrets of the Torah, only come from there. So that itself, you know, if you look around, you'll see that this is really, in fact, in play, whether people wanted it or not, or whatever it is, it's happening. Yeah.
So just Ha'ara,
yeah.
Saying that the Sfida Esh has a big mind expanding what Rosh Hashanah Kol Hashanah was doing in Germany, and God's then the difference between the Eastern European Gedolim and the other thing. I'm not sure that he's specifically talking negative the Muslim movement.
Yeah.
In as much as the whole way that Kalisrael went for the last few hundred years of living in the ghettos and relating to the outside world and anything which was outside the Bidjuk, the Dalin Amu Salacha, as Mimela being Ryan, having to keep a distance from the Kukula, was much more of a general thing which then that was to what Rosh Hashanah Kol Hashanah extreme level was coming to show how everything could be in Avodas Hashem. But he writes over there that
and Chassidus.
He writes over there that Rabbi Yisrael Salant with the Muslim even Be'etzim was doing the same thing just from a different angle.
Yeah, okay.
And by Rabbi Yisrael Talmidim, like Rabbi Ruchon, Salman Kerim, the Kuna was there, they came very strongly from the Rechal Svarim, including the Astfulis and Svarim, like of the more service of Torah. I think that the Muslim movement, which the Mashkechim try give over today, is a little bit of a very misunderstanding of what their Muslim movement
it's
was.
Yes or no.
When you read like the Sabbath, they do. That's I agree with what you're saying about the thing. I just don't think that he's specifically coming against the Muslim movement.
I don't say specifically. I wasn't saying he's specifically coming against yeah.
the whole approach of how European Jewry had been until then.
100%. That's why I said it.
Dealing with the outside world.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not that it was coming against
Muslim,
but it took a form. It took a
yeah,
but it wasn't put into a shita. That's what I'm saying. And the Muslim movement like put it into a shita. You're right. That
wasn't the focus of the Muslim movement. There was one element of the Muslim movement.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's part of it. I'm yeah. saying, you know, it was much more part of the
yeah,
whole.
But you see, another
Eastern European Jewry took an approach to anything that was slightly out of the.
Yeah. The other Ksavim Lameisa, especially from Rav Kook, but I think if I remember correctly a little bit, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, you see that they had this problem with the Muslim movement.
Right.
That because it was in their eyes, was kind of like lowering.
Okay.
Right, exactly. It was a lower level than what
it's a different nakuda, that nakuda being Isaac and the Kaplan thing.
Yeah, but it's part of it. That's
it's
this
part
is
of
the
it
stone.
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the conversations with Chaim with it's for sick people, it's, you know,
right.
That's some like kind of like what you're saying.
He's saying it's from a different angle, though. Reb Chaim was saying that Reb Chaim was coming from the point that forget about without Seudas Torah at all. Just the etzem thing of a person is in Torah, which is lamaisa. That's the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that the at least for arayas and whatever, but the etzara doesn't have a hold in a person whose heart, unless his heart is vacant from chokhmah.
Yeah.
So if you're learning Torah, that's what the Rambam says. If you're learning Torah, you're free from all problems. Fine, it's enechanem. It just, practically speaking, it doesn't, most people don't get to that level where their heart is so filled with chachma that they're scot-free from everything else. That was what we sort of was saying. Yeah, okay, we're all sick. Let's, you know, you have to realize the mitzvahs. That was, you know, that was that conversation. Rebbe Chaim was saying, yeah, okay, but in the yeshivas, they're still healthy people, so don't bring it into the yeshiva, you know. Okay. Fine. So we'll continue with Hashem. What's that? Oh, with the Aderes Haskama. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to check here. One second. Did he use that? It's a very long Haskama. Okay, I don't have time to go through the whole thing now. But I think I remember seeing the Lashon Ketz Megula in here. But Lamaisa, he writes at the end, the Lashon that he writes is, Ve'einenu ro'ois benechemas Tzion v'Yerushalayim. Our eyes are seeing the comforting of Tzion and Yerushalayim. It's a very unique Lashon. I'm pretty sure that... Now, the truth of the matter is, I'll let you in on a little secret, that this haskama of the Aderes, okay, again, this is haskama of the Aderes on the Kuti Halachas of the Chafetz Chaim, right? So the Chafetz Chaim went to the Aderes because he was the God Lador. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim was also the God Lador, but the Chafetz Chaim was the big one of, and he went to the Aderes, and
it was
Rav Kook's Shver, and the Aderes told him, listen, I don't have time. Because he was very torrid. He said he didn't have time to write the Haskama. He didn't have time to look at the Sefer, he didn't have time to write the Haskama. So he said, okay, so let your son-in-law, because Rav Kook was with him then, in those days he was living there with him. He said, so let your son. The Chafetz Chaim knew Rav Kook very well. Chafetz Chaim was the one that really pushed Rav Kook into everything, because Rav Kook was one of the people that he took to the Kachim Koil. And then he asked Rav Kook after a year and something, that I want you to take Rabbanus. And Chafetz Chaim was the one that forced him into his first Rabbanus. And Chafetz Chaim was a very big chassid, like he held very, very strongly of Rav Kook, even until the end of his life. He protected his son-in-law. He wrote a letter. While the Chafetz Chaim was alive, he published it in Eretz Yisrael when there were those who attacked Rav Kook. He said, I testify that anytime anyone tried to bring a letter where the Chafetz Chaim chapped that it was going to try to, somebody trying to bash Rav Kook, he ripped up the letter, he wouldn't look at it, and he said that their halach is like it says in Yeri Day, they're not going to get Eilim Haba. So in any case, but so Lamaisa, the Chafetz Chaim, the Aderes said, okay, fine. So he gave it to Rav Kook, and he wrote this unbelievable Haskama. It's mamish, a beautiful chiddush in Haskama. As big arichas, the Aderes went through the whole thing, and Lamaisa, it's Rav Kook who penned that lashon ve'inenu ro'os v'nechem asiyan v'yushalayim, which makes a lot more sense, right? But the Aderes signed on it, and the Aderes read the whole entire haskama, and he said, "I can't sign my name because you bring a chiddush over here. There's a chiddush over here," and he said, "I can't sign my name because that's a sheker. It's your chiddush, not my sheker, not my chiddush." So he said. So he made a change right before the chiddush that Rav Kook wrote. He changed the nusach. The yofeh e'reini kvoid agoyin anoydel tehila. Moreinu arav Avram Yitzchak Kohen Nun Yud hagayvid dekilas kodesh bois. So that way he brought in Rav Kook's name. But lemaisa, the whole, according to what I saw, the entire Haskama was really is, and that's the like story behind it. I think Rav Kook's son told over the story. I think
sounds good. Yeah.
Like anyway, it. So.
Next week is also Kodesh.